Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. It's a privilege for me to share this message with you. I've entitled Guiding Us into Healing. Jesus told us in John 14:18 that he would not leave us comfortless, or in other words, he would not leave us as orphans with no one to call upon to help, all alone in this world at the mercy of the enemy. No, he gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us and to help us and guide us into all truth. So when we're sick or our body is attacked with disease, we can go to our helper and he will guide us into all truth about our healing. Praise God, healing belongs to us now, and our helper, the Holy Ghost, will show us the way. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Father, what a blessing it is to be able to study your word, to be able to see all that you have made available to us, that you've accomplished for us through Jesus. And now the ministry of the Holy Spirit is unveiling to us all that is available to us now. We thank you for it. And my prayer, Father, is this evening as we study your word, that the truth regarding all of the ministry of the Holy Ghost, that we have a greater understanding of this ministry. We have a greater understanding of the Holy Ghost, who he is and why he's here and what he's sent to do on our behalf. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for praying the Father to send the Holy Ghost so that we would not be left orphans. Thank you. And I come against the powers of darkness that would attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a move of your Spirit, that your Holy Ghost has free reign, and he's able to flow and do what he wants to do as we teach this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So recently, the Holy Ghost has been at the forefront of my thinking and his ministry to us. And I thank God for what Jesus, what he accomplished for us. And that when he left, he said that he would not leave us comfortless. And I guess that's probably the verse that we're going to start at tonight. And let me begin by saying that word comfortless, it's a very interesting word because the definition in the Greek isn't exactly what you might anticipate it to be. The word comfortless is orphanos in the Greek. Now I'm guessing that you can probably guess what word that is like in English. It's like orphans. Jesus was so intent on us understanding the ministry of the Holy Ghost and the importance of the ministry of the Holy Ghost and how we wouldn't be left here as orphans. Now, what's an orphan? An orphan is someone that whose parents have left them. They don't have anyone, and they're left to scrounge for themselves. And Jesus is saying to us, you know, after you're born again and you become children of God, you are not going to be left to scrounge around on this earth. You're going to have a comforter. The comforter is going to come and take up residence on the inside of each and every one of us. And I said this previously, how sad it is to me that the ministry of the Holy Ghost is, there's such a cloud of confusion around his ministry. You know, there's the one camp where people, you know, they believe that, well, you get all the Holy Ghost that there is whenever you make Jesus the Lord of your life. And true, you do receive the Holy Spirit, because if it weren't for the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be able to be born again. But there's more to his ministry than just that initial presence with the when you become saved. There is the infilling presence when you invite him to completely immerse you in himself. You know, there's something additional there that if you just stop at the new birth, that you're not able to truly appreciate the rest of his ministry, the rest of why he came here, so that we wouldn't be left orphans. And that the verse that I'm referring to is in John 14. We looked at that previously, but we're going to look there again. We're going to begin in the 15th verse, chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And I don't want to just fly by that verse and fly by that word comforter without discussing a little bit about what it means to have a comforter, a helper, a paraclete, one that's sent to abide with us, to help us. He's our helper. He's our comforter. That's his job. He's been sent here on our behalf to help us. And he will just as easily sit by and allow us to ignore him and miss out on all of his ministry. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, for myself, I have to on purpose force myself to recognize his presence on a daily basis, just going throughout my day. I have to force myself because I slipped into a mode where it wasn't a habit for me to acknowledge him, and so consequently I wasn't. Shame on me. And so I have to go back and force myself, saying, you know, things like, Holy Spirit, I recognize that you're right here with me. I recognize your ministry. Now, he is so good. There are so many things that he has been there with me, helping me along the way as I acknowledge him and as I recognize him. And I'm telling you, the advantage that he brings to us is phenomenal. I'm just an average guy. But when the Holy Ghost gets involved in my life, when I open the door for him to get involved with my life, supernatural things happen. Well, you can say, well, you think you're special, Mark. No, it's not me. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are so many things that happen in my life that are not coincidental, that it wasn't just the, you know, just dumb luck. I don't believe in that. I believe that the Holy Ghost orchestrated so many things. Why? Because I gave him the opportunity to do it. I acknowledged him. You know, there's things that have happened where, you know, not necessarily ministry related, but just, you know, things that I do every day is, you know, living on this earth, things that I'm confronted with that I don't have any idea how to do certain things, you know, whether it's, fixing, repairing something. Like something on my car needs to be repaired. Well, I'll tell you what, we have the helper to help us. And you might think, well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. He is sent here to help us in every aspect of our life if we will open the door to him and ask him for help. For instance, on our car, we had a a problem with our car, and it was going to require that a good percentage of the motor was taken apart. Well, you know, on the cars today, how many pieces there are? There's a ton of pieces. And I'm not, you know, a great auto mechanic, but I have a helper. And it is amazing to me when I think about how he walked me through step by step, taking that car apart and identifying where every piece would go back whenever I was putting it back together. And step by step throughout that entire process, he was right there giving me ideas, helping me to remember things, remember where I put that piece, remember how it went together. You know, so many things. I'm just an average guy. I'm not exceptionally smart. I'm not a rocket scientist or anything like that. So for me to have done what I did, just being a novice at being a mechanic, just a novice, to me is phenomenal. It's supernatural. And I can go on and on and on at the things that because I opened the door to the Holy Ghost asking him for help. For another example with like appliances. I know we had when we lived in Tulsa, we had a washer, a clothes washer. We have one now, but we had another one there and a dryer. And I can't tell you the number of times that I had to repair that washer. And taking that washer apart, not really knowing what was wrong with it, and having the Holy Ghost give me the directions, the insight on how to fix that, how to put it back together, what pieces went where, is phenomenal. And I look at that and I think, how could I have ever made it without the Holy Spirit? And he wants to do that in every area of our life. You know, and it, not just in the spiritual, but, you know, in your job. You know, he wants you to excel in your job, and he wants to help you to excel. He wants to give you ideas of witty inventions. He wants to help you to see better solutions for problems that you might have in the workplace. He wants to help you in every area of your life. He wants to help you in your family. You know, he wants to help you raising your children, giving you insight on what works best with your children in helping them to grow. He wants to get involved in every single area of our life if we'll only open the door to him. And that's our choice. And if we don't open the door, he will sit by, idly by, and watch us as we make a shambles of things. And you might think, well, I do pretty good. Well, I'm not saying that anybody isn't able to do, you know, certain things. You know, maybe you have a proficiency for fixing cars. Maybe you have a proficiency for fixing appliances. But how about when it comes to fixing your family? You know, maybe that's where you need the help of the Holy Ghost. Every area of your life that you'll invite him to come in and help you. And that, you need, just ask him, I need your help. I need help here. And then the way he responds, the way he gives you the answers is, in some instances, particularly when you're dealing with other people, you know, or situations dealing with people, you know, so many times the way he will respond is by bringing the Word of God up on the inside of you, bringing that Word and. You know, here's the verse right here that in John 16. Let me go over to 16. Howbeit, verse 13, John 16:13. We're going to come back to 14, I believe. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I missed one verse, verse 7 in John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I'll send him unto you. Jesus emphasizes how important, it's expedient. I mean, for him to use a word that's strong, it tells us that, you know, there's something really important here that we need to get a hold of. You know, these are Jesus' final words before he goes off to Gethsemane and then to the cross. You know, this is his final instruction, and he's taking the time here to tell us, look, you know, I'm not going to be here with you any longer. And you're going to need someone to help you. And I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, to be your comforter, to be your helper, to help you in every area of your life. I'm telling you, I think the church as a whole, I think we've seen these verses and we've mentally ascended that they're true. But I think for the most part, we haven't truly tapped in to the ministry of the Holy Ghost in his fullness and what he wants to do in our life, how big he wants to be in our life. Praise God. So let me see if I can find the verse I was referring to. It's back in John 14. So let's go back to 14. And I want to look at verse, let's start in 15 again. We'll try this one more time. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Isn't that something? Forever. You know, forever is here and eternity in heaven and the new earth. You know, he's going to abide with you forever. You know, this is just the beginning of life with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. And here's the important part right here. He shall be in you. In you. He's going to take up residence in you. Oh, that's so important. You know, the last message I taught was to you and through you was the title. And that's the ministry of the Holy Ghost to us and through us. And the reason why it's to us and through us is because he's in us. He lives within us. I am wall to wall Holy Ghost. Wall to wall. And yet, you know, I think about the times that I'm just oblivious to the fact that I'm wall to wall Holy Ghost. Why is that? It's because I haven't made a purposeful decision to acknowledge the Holy Ghost in every part of my life. That's what he wants. That's what will be best for me and for you. All right, let's go down to, so let me say that last verse for again, the last part of the last verse, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So here's what I was referring to a few minutes ago. One of the things that I have noticed so much about the ministry of the Holy Ghost is how he brings to my remembrance the Word of God. Boy, I tell you what. You find yourself in a situation facing a problem. And as you look to the Holy Ghost for direction, you know, it says right here that he'll teach you all things. And we read somewhere where it said that he will guide you into all truth. This guiding and this teaching, you know, it's him revealing the plan of God, God's answer to every situation of our life. And he does it by revealing the truths in God's word to us, by bringing God's word back to our remembrance. We're faced with a situation. What do I do? You know, and particularly when it's dealing with maybe our own, let's say, physical bodies, let's say sickness. Let's just get down to where the rubber meets the road. In our own personal life, in our own physical body, when we deal with sickness, you know, that's one of those things that the enemy has attacked me in here recently. And you think about, you know, well, what are you going to do? You know, your body's screaming at you with pain or symptoms, you know, and what are you going to do? Well, you know, if you're like most people, and I say this not trying to speak disparagingly of anyone, but most people, when they have these symptoms, their first inclination, well, I better go to the doctor. And there's absolutely nothing at all wrong with going to the doctor. I would encourage you, if you're sick and you're you know, you're so inclined, go to the doctor, get help. I've found for myself that when I'm faced with these situations, you know, my inclination, and it's from the guidance, I truly believe that, and I've experienced this so many times, the guidance of the Holy Ghost has been to God's Word. He's taken me to the promises that ensure my victory over the sickness and the disease. And so, would it not in that situation be, I'm trying to find the right way to say this, for me, if he's leading me to take a stand on God's word, if that's when I seek the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Ghost concerning a situation in my physical body where there's pain, where there's symptoms, and what he brings back to me as his guidance, as his leadership, is the Word of God stating the promises that ensure that I am healed by Jesus' stripes. Would it be irresponsible of me if I made my stand on God's word instead of running to the doctor? See, I don't believe that's the case. I believe that the responsible thing for me to do is to make a stand on the Word of God that the Holy Ghost is bringing to my attention. See, this is his guidance. This is him bringing what? The answer to me. He's trying to give me the answer to the situation. Now you might think, well, you know, those words on the page, by his stripes, you were healed. Well, those are nice, but I still have pain in my body. Yeah, there is a standing, and having done all to stand, we have to stand, therefore. You know, that's talking about the the battle that we face. That's Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. And we'll probably be looking at that this evening. Yeah, there is a stand to be made. And in some instances, as I have grown in my walk with the Lord, in some instances, I've just flat gone to the doctor right off the bat and really didn't even seek the counsel of the Holy Ghost. You know, if I was in pain, I went to the doctor. Now, that was early on. As I have grown and the Holy Ghost has, and I've put the Word of God inside of me regarding healing, regarding what has been accomplished for me at the cross. You know, those verses, I've meditated those verses. I got those verses inside of me so that when I'm faced with symptoms in my body, you know, I'm not having to run and grab somebody's promise book and look through it and try to find verses to make a stand on. It's a little late then. You know, now you're like the person trying to build a dam and the floodwaters are already rising. It's a little too late. So just go to the doctor and, you know, go in faith, believing, and, you know, and pray for a quick resolution to it. But see, as you grow in the things of God, as you grow in your understanding of what Jesus already accomplished for you, and you begin to see by the teaching and ministry of the Holy Ghost that you don't have to be subject to the devil, subject to sickness or disease. Now, you're beginning to see that sickness and disease, you know, that was on the other side of the cross. Now that I have made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life and I have died the death of the cross and he has paid the price for my sin, sickness, disease, and poverty, I do not have to put up with it. So when, as that begins to be revealed to your spirit man, now as sickness attempts to come on your body, as you seek the counsel of the Holy Ghost on what to do, what's going to come up inside of you? What's his guidance going to be? It's going to be the answer. And the answer is the truth of what has been accomplished for you at Calvary, that by his stripes you were healed. That's the truth. And he's going to try and bring that to your attention for you to lay hold on. That as you're going to make this stand of faith for the healing of your body, for the manifestation of the healing of your body, here is the word to stand on. And here's a great verse that most of you all are familiar with. It's 1 Peter 2:24. So you've meditated this, you've read it, you've gone over it. Hopefully while you're before the sickness came. And so now here comes the symptoms. You know, and generally speaking, when the enemy brings these symptoms on you, they'll get your attention. They're real. The pain is real. It's not, he's not playing games. He wants to destroy us. And whether you see that symptom as a direct attack from the enemy himself, or whether you see it as just part of being living in a world that's under a curse, however you want to see it, ultimately the enemy is the one responsible. For instance, if you live in a house and, you know, a storm comes through your house or a storm comes through your neighborhood And that storm blows your neighbor's big flagpole down right into your front glass. You know, somebody might walk in the door and they might say, well, you know, what happened here? Oh, the neighbor's flagpole fell through the window. But the real cause of all of it was the storm. The real cause of the sickness, whether or not it's a direct oppression from the enemy against you or it's an indirect, it's still the enemy and he's still the one behind all of it. And you have to understand that it's not from God. God's not sending sickness and disease on any person trying to teach them anything, and he's not allowing them to be subjected to sickness and disease to teach them something. That's hogwash. That's religious bunk. There's no part of that that's true. If sickness and disease has attacked your body, it comes from one place and one place only. It's from the devil, not from God. And God's not allowing anything to happen so that, you know, to teach you anything. No. He's given us the authority. We have the authority to stop the enemy. The enemy has been defeated. Jesus he's been put under Jesus' feet, the enemy. And we're part of his body, so he's under our feet. So it's our responsibility to run the devil off when he comes. And so when the enemy comes knocking on our door, trying to get us to accept these symptoms, if we just lay down on the job and say, God, would you please take care of the devil? He's not going to do anything. The responsibility has been given over to us in by using the authority that is in the name of Jesus. We run the devil off ourselves. And that's what God expects. So when we're dumbfounded by symptoms. You know, there so many times they're not just onesies, but they come in twosies and threesies, and they're all over the place. They're coming at us. And if we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by these symptoms and we fail to call upon the leadership of the Holy Ghost to give him the opportunity to lead us out of this mess, you know, we're tying our hands. We have to give him that opportunity. And with that opportunity, what he's going to do is bring verses like 1 Peter 2:24 up to our remembrance. And you can look at it. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. I know that's a familiar verse to most spirit-filled believers, but I'm telling you something. Just because it's written here does not mean it's working in your life. And the Holy Ghost may draw your attention over to 1 Peter 2:24, and he may be encouraging you with everything that he can to get you to make a stand on that verse, to run Satan off, to keep that verse coming out of your mouth. By his stripes, I was healed. Satan, take your hands off my body. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed and made whole. You know, and it doesn't happen because you said it five times. It happens because you believe what those words are saying. However long it takes, maybe it only takes three or four times for you to believe. I don't know what it takes for anybody to believe. But whatever it does take, once you believe those words, yes, by your stripes I was healed. I believe this. You see, this is God's word to us. And God cannot lie. You know, it isn't that he won't lie. He can't lie. Look at this verse in Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I tell you what, right there you have it. God's not a liar. He said it. He said it. He will make it good. He will make it good. You have to believe that. That he cannot lie. God cannot lie. It isn't that he won't lie. He can't. He cannot lie. And he said in his word that by the stripes of Jesus that you were healed. You were healed. Past tense. You are healed now. It is an accomplished fact. It has been bought and paid for. It only needs to be appropriated to you by your faith in believing. Now here's another. Here's another verse, Psalms, book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 20. Now here, these are verses that you can turn to in the midst of facing down the enemy, because that's what this is. Sickness and disease attacking your body as you facing down the enemy. You're staring right into that abyss. You're making your stand on God's word that cannot fail. The word of God that has within itself the power to cause itself to come to pass. You're standing on his word. You're releasing these faith-filled words that the Holy Ghost is empowered to cause to come to pass when you believe it. And the enemy is staring at you, wanting you to flinch, wanting you to back up, to doubt the word of God, doubt whether or not God is and his word are true, doubt. And all the while, here we have the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Ghost, who's been sent to guide us into all truth, who's drawing us to these verses, 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The Holy Ghost draws you to that verse. And you look at it. You sent your word and you healed me, Lord. Father God, you sent your word and healed me. And delivered me from my destruction. You sent your word, Father, and healed me. See, folks, this is something that I do. This is something, it's not something I'm just teaching you that I've never experienced. I've done this time and time again. I've seen the fruit of what I'm saying. I believe this with everything that's in me. And I'm telling you, this will change your life. If you will make a stand on his word and allow the Holy Ghost, your helper, to help you, to bring you to these verses, you won't have to look to the doctor to try and manage your symptoms. See, they can't heal you. What they try to do is manage your symptoms. What I'm proposing to you is alleviating the symptoms completely through faith in the Word of God, because God, who cannot lie, has told you that you are free from the sickness by the stripes of Jesus. See, this isn't about managing your symptoms, it's about alleviating them completely. Amen? All right, let's go. Let's go now to, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I alluded to this a few minutes ago. Ephesians chapter 6. See, in Ephesians 6, what you have here is Paul's description of the armor of God. See, there's a reason. There's a reason why he's describing armor here. You know, what's armor all about? Armor is about fighting. You know, this is a battle. When the enemy comes trying to get you to accept symptoms in your body, he's trying to get you to basically allow him to destroy this body, get you off the planet. That's what this is all about, getting you out of here. And you know, if you don't think this is warfare, I'm telling you what, this is warfare. This is fighting. This is down in the trenches. You know, you see the pictures from World War II where they were down in the trenches fighting against the enemy. This is trench warfare right here. You know, he is attacking you on the most basic level, your physical body. Pain is a strong motivator. Pain will get your attention. And different processes of your body that need to continue to flow, when they stop flowing or they're hindered, that's a problem. And you have to have that problem resolved. And so it's warfare. Now here's what Paul said. Paul said, "Finally, my brethren," verse 10, Ephesians 6, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, what do you think the power of his might? The power of his might. Well, it sounds to me like he's talking about the Holy Ghost right here. The power of the might of God, the Holy Ghost. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Well, I tell you, these are the forces of darkness that you're going to contend with. This is the hierarchy of the powers of darkness, the levels, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places, the hierarchy at every level. These are the ones that you're going to deal with, the lower level devils, and if you progress, you know, if you go on, there has to be a higher level of a devil to come after you to try and stop you. They have to stop you. You can't. They cannot allow anyone to progress in the Word of God. They have to do everything they can to stop you. And if you can be stopped, you will be stopped. You've got to make such a decision in your heart: I will not stop. I will not accept defeat from the enemy, no matter what. See, that's the kind of warfare we're talking about. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And before you get the impression that I'm proposing that you just stand forever, no, there is a stand, but I don't believe that it's a forever stand that we have to make. I think sometimes we get the idea that it's just all standing, and no, it's simply believing. The stand is as long as it takes for us to simply believe what the Word of God says. Believe by His stripes you were healed. You know, and I can say this from experience, folks. You know, I dealt with issue of Lyme's disease. where the symptoms were in my body. And I did try to go to the doctor, and they couldn't do anything. And the symptoms were just, they were horrible in my body. And I felt the numbness creeping up my legs. And I knew that if I didn't get this thing defeated, if I didn't make my stand of faith and refuse to waver, that it was going to get the best of me. Well, I didn't want Lyme's disease. I didn't want to be subjected to that the rest of my life. Forget that. I'm redeemed. Jesus paid the price for me to be free from all that. Why in the world am I going to let it exist in my body? It has no right to. It has no legal right. And I have to be adamant about it. I remember walking the floor screaming that at that devil that I am not going to allow it to exist in my body in Jesus' name. And I remember the afternoon that it left, and it left. Do I have Lyme's disease now? No. It's been probably 10 years since I dealt with that. 10 years. Over 10 years. Probably 15 years. And don't even have any symptoms. And is that the only one, Mark? No, that's not the only one. There's multiple things. I'm just going over the ones that really got my attention. You know, some things really get your attention. And the other one that really got my attention was chronic dry eye. And I know it sounds like, well, that's just peanuts. That's nothing. Well, you let the outer layer of your eye get ripped off once a week for about 6 months, and we'll see how you think about that. See, ultimately, if it hadn't stopped, it was leading to blindness. Now, I didn't want to be blind. But the doctors, you know, did I go to the doctor? Yeah, I went to the doctor about once a week for that time period. And could they do anything? Well, they gave me their drugs to try and manage the symptoms. Not cure them, just manage them. Was it managing them? No. I still had the problem. It was once I got on my faith and I believed God, believed His Word, and was convinced that it had no right in my body. Once it happened, the dry eyes left. Now, I will say that, and that's been, that was in 2009, 2010. That's been 6 years. There have been a couple of times when, out of the blue, a symptom tries to come on me, you got to run it off. Can't mess with it. Can't play with the devil. Can't play with him. So, but my eyes, I'm not blind. I don't have that problem. I'm healed. And it was by the Word of God making a stand on the Word of God. Exactly what Paul says right here. Having done all to stand. And it was believing that, and I want you to get this point because this is so important. It was believing that I received the answer when I prayed, according to Mark 11:24. Before I saw the symptoms leave, I still believed that I have received the answer. I believe that I had received my healing for the dry eye. And I did it even when I was still having the outer layer peeling off. The symptoms weren't any different. But what was different was what was in my heart. And hold your place there in Ephesians. Just look real quick over it. Mark chapter 11. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It's when you pray. It's before the symptoms leave. It's when you pray, believe you receive the answer. It's like for this attack that I'm going through in my body. I prayed and believed that I received the answer. And I wasn't asking, and don't misunderstand when I say this, I wasn't asking God heal me. I believe the Word of God says I've already healed. I'm just receiving what was already accomplished for me. Father, I thank you that Jesus, by his stripes, I was healed. And I am appropriating that healing. I am receiving it right now in the name of Jesus. And I mark down the time and the date. From that moment on, I have received my healing. I receive what Jesus already accomplished for me. See, he already healed me. He healed me 2,000 years ago. I just received that appropriation right now. I receive it. And I believe that I have it. And whether or not the symptoms continue or stop at that moment, it's irrelevant. Because my faith says that God cannot lie. God's word will not change. I take a stand on his word, and I command this body to line up with God's word. I command it. I refuse to move off of it. So going back here to Ephesians 6 as we close, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith. See, that shield of faith, it is your faith in God and his word, that shield of faith, that you're standing there and it is quenching, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. With what? The shield of faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's word and his promise to you. Every fiery dart is quenched by faith, the shield of faith, faith in his word. Coming out of your mouth, the symptoms, maybe the symptoms are they are still screaming at you. And what do? You say, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I am healed now. That's you. It's like you've just taken that shield of faith and you've raised it in front of you and you are quenching every fiery dart of the enemy. See, this is how you overcome in that day of trouble. This is how you do it. 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now look at this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, now we're going back to the Holy Ghost here. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. This is how you're getting him involved in your stand. You're getting him involved. Praying in other tongues. Jude, the book of Jude, said this. There's only one chapter in Jude. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Most holy faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. This is how you're getting the Holy Ghost involved in your stand. Praying in the Holy Ghost, meditating in the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, and praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One last verse, and then I'll stop here. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul is writing here again, and this is what he's saying about the Holy Ghost. He says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. You're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up, particularly in the time when you are being, you're under the onslaught of the enemy with with symptoms in your body. What better time to just stop in Shondoro Boko Toro Boshara Bakara Batasi Tondoro Bosi Toro Bokoro Bosi. Father, I thank you by Jesus' stripes. I am healed and made whole. Devil, you take your hands off my body. Soro Bokondo Robo Shandarabasi. Father, I thank you that I'm healed and made whole. I thank you. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed and made whole. Father, you sent your word and you healed me and you delivered me from all destruction. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I stand, therefore, having done all to stand, I stand. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. See, these are the things that we need to be willing to do, making a stand against the enemy. For our own health in our body, and I believe this is what the Holy Ghost, as your relationship develops with Him, I believe this is what He's going to guide you into. As He's guiding you into all truth, this is truth. By His stripes you were healed is truth. So, wouldn't we expect Him? If you seek His counsel and His guidance when symptoms hit your body, for Him to guide you into this, yes, we would. And not for you to get your tail kicked, but for you to walk in victory and for you to make your stand of faith and watch every symptom leave your body. I'm going to pray for you right now. And I want you to make a decision to call upon the Helper. To make a decision, I'm going to learn how to depend on the Holy Ghost. I'm going to learn how to follow His guidance into all truth. I'm going to learn how to allow Him to direct me to the answer for what I'm facing. Okay, well, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Father, thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Thank you that He's been sent to guide us into all truth. Father, I pray for every person listening, both live and in the future. Father, I pray that they will make a conscious decision to develop their relationship with the Holy Ghost, so that He can guide them into all truth, and even in this area of healing for their body, that when symptoms attack their body, that they will be courageous and make a stand of faith, allow the Holy Ghost to guide them into the truth regarding the healing of their body, and watch every symptom leave their body. Thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you would like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.